All right, well, he's a Basketball Hall of Famer. I mean, what kind of introduction do you really need here?
Yeah.
From the NBA on TNT, he's in town, he's in Toronto. I'd like to believe he's enjoying himself. Here's Charles Barkley. How you doing, Charles?
I'm good, my brothers. How you guys doing?
We're doing very well.
I'm loving Toronto. I come up here every summer. It's a great place. Got my boy Leo Rowdens and Rod Black taking good care of me and Paul Jones. We're having a blast.
Yeah, those are our guys. When you bring the crew with you, though, like Shaq, we always talk, we always play your audio, and we can't figure out if you guys are buddies, if adversaries. I mean, how would you describe your relationship with Shaq in particular?
A combination of both. Number one, he's a great guy. I love working with him. But he gets mad at times when we're having basketball discussions and let me know he won 4 championships. That doesn't mean he's right on basketball. So we have fun. I like messing with him because he got thinner skin than Flat Stanley. We have a lot of fun at work, man. But I'm not going to back down because he's wrong or I'm wrong. I'm going to get my point across. But I love working with the guy. He's a great dude.
Well, you've made that clear when it comes to like current players who really haven't been very fond of some of the heat you've been spitting at them over the years. And usually it's through, you know, local media. They'll say, I didn't like what Charles said, or I heard what Charles said. I think it happened recently with Joel Embiid, where you guys were critical, and understandably so. Have you had any players over your, you know, tenure as a media guy actually approach you face-to-face with any of these problems?
Oh heck yeah. Players, agents. But, you know, we got to do our job. I don't have any gripe against any of these players. But you got to do your job. I mean, I'm pretty sure you guys have to criticize certain players, but it's nothing personal. No. I don't think anybody can say, go back and look at my entire career. I've never said anything personal about a guy. If a guy's not playing well, I'm going to call him out. And Joel, I think if he would sit back and hear what I said instead of listen, he would understand the point I was trying to make. He's got to get himself in better shape. You know, they don't practice him, so I told him, get in a swimming pool. You know, because you can get in great, because swimmers are some of the best conditioned people in the world. I said, if you're not going to practice basketball and you're hurt all the time, one of the ways you can actually work out is get in the pool. I think they should practice him a little bit. I mean, he don't have to run up and down the court for 2 hours, but if they said, hey, we're going to run up and down this court really hard for 10, 15 minutes. Because like I said, you cannot get in shape not playing basketball. And he took it personally and got mad. But it's, like I say, he's a great kid. I think he's got a chance of being a great player if he can stay healthy. But like I say, it was nothing personal at all.
It's because it's the truth, Charles. And when you talk about an athlete, and that's always the old saying, the truth hurts. And when you talk about what they're doing and it's not right, they know that you're right, but they just have to take offense to it. And that's the way the world is now. The truth hurts, and that's why they get mad at it.
Well, it drives me crazy because, you know, listen, I'm not the old guy, get off my lawn. You know, I'm not one of those guys. But when guys criticize me back in the day, I had to take a step back and see if the criticism true. Like, sometimes a lot of guys are just jackasses on TV in the States. You know, like a Skip Bayless and some guys like that. They just say stuff to get just for the hell of it for dramatic effect. I've never done that. I'm never going to do that. But these guys today, man, you can say great things about them, but if you say one bad thing about them, you think it's the end of the world. And I said the same thing about Embiid. I said, he's never called me when I told him how great he was. I say one thing about his condition, and he goes crazy. But these players never call you and say, hey, man, thanks for the kind word.
Never. They never do.
No. Well, and it's not going to happen.
And
you
got to be careful with the analytics crowd, too, Charles.
Oh, I hate the analytics crowd. I hate them. You know that now.
Put that on a tee for you.
No, because I made this point the other day. The Golden State Warriors have the three greatest shooter. Two is who live, and Kevin Durant is probably right in that conversation. Do you know that there's 7 teams shooting more threes than the Warriors? Now, that doesn't make sense to me. If you got the greatest three-point shooting team of all time, and you got 7 teams that shoot more threes, that doesn't make analytical sense to me. I mean, I listen, I'm a realistic guy. And the Warriors actually shoot more twos than the teams that are left in the playoffs now. I wish a lot of these teams would stop trying to do the analytical stuff. Kawhi Leonard is one of the best, number one, he's one of two or three best players in the world, but he takes more twos than threes. And I wish the analytical crowd, listen, I know they had their little, when the Warriors won their first championship, they shot a lot of threes. Then they realized, like, oh, we probably can't survive just shooting threes. And now you see, there's no way humanly possible there should be seven teams in the NBA shoot more threes than the Warriors. But they don't have Steph Clay and Kevin Durant. So that means a lot. I wish they would pay attention to the actual numbers instead of saying, hey, we're just going to shoot all the threes we want to.
With Charles Barkley, the Raptors winning in double OT last night. You were in the building, and it's a quick turnaround. They play again tomorrow night, and I think the concern, I mean, people are happy in Toronto, clearly, because they got a win, and now you got a series. But load management has been the term of the season here in Toronto, and Kawhi is a guy who, you know, he's missed a lot of action. Last year he only played 9 games, and now you see him playing up over 50 minutes last night, and he's limping around a little bit. How concerned do you believe Raptors fans should be that he's going to be at 100% tomorrow and ready to go?
Well, I know they're keeping it tight to the vest over there. Listen, I hope he's healthy. You know, I made no secret about it. I love coming to Toronto. I don't know who's going to win this series, but I just want another trip to Toronto next week, so I need the Raptors to win tomorrow. You know, the guys, you know, I said it last night before the game. Hey, you can do all the X and O's you want to. Marc Gasol, Siakam, Powell, they really stepped up last night. That's all it took. It has nothing to do with analytics. It has nothing to do with X and O's. It's about Jims and Joes. And it was a very simple last night. Those guys played well last night. Gasol obviously had his best game. Powell obviously had his best game. Siakam has been missing mainly. He's been missing for the last 2 weeks. I was really proud of that kid last night stepping up in a must-win game. But they got to do it tomorrow because we don't have a series yet. You know, Ernie likes to say when they get back to 2-1, we have a series. No, we don't have a series yet. We have a series if the Raptors win tomorrow.
Well, if they do, how much belief do you have that they can get a game in Milwaukee?
Well, the Bucks, you know, they hadn't won. Think about it. You know, I know we're in the Eastern Conference Finals, but they hadn't won a series in 15 years, maybe longer than that. I think maybe 2001 was the last time they won a series. So this is uncharted territory for those guys. And you see their best player. I mean, he's a stud, but he struggled last night, but he's never been in this situation before. So you don't know. Like I say, you never know what's going to happen in the playoffs. Kawhi is the only one in this series who's been in the championship, I think. He won a world championship. So I just think tomorrow's game is a really big deal. I mean, that's not a surprise to anybody that's a fan. Tomorrow's game is a really big deal. And I would love to see Toronto win tomorrow because I would love to see two more games for sure, because ain't nothing like 6- and 7-game series. Because you guys, go back a week ago.
Right.
That Philadelphia-Toronto series, that's one of the greatest things I've seen as an announcer. I mean, that was unbelievable. That shot Kawhi hit, that was one of the greatest things I've been a part of. And I'm so glad we had that game. It was crazy.
With Charles Barkley, before we let you go, I got to ask you about this Magic Johnson stuff. I don't know how close you are with Magic. I know you know him and you've known him for a long time, but he's on ESPN today and he was calling out Rob Pelinka, the GM of the Lakers, and saying that he was backstabbing him and taking shots at him. And he took a pretty healthy run at the Lakers. What's your read on the Lakers in general, Magic, him pulling the pin the way that he did on that job, and now how he's decided to kind of reveal his truth that just happens to be on the same day that they announced officially Frank Vogel as the new head coach?
Well, I think he probably did it intentionally. If I was the Lakers, I wouldn't have announced it the same day. Listen, it's so funny you bring that up because, you know, I know anytime something bad in the NBA happens, my phone starts going crazy. So I was just laying around this morning getting some notes, looking at the Golden State. Had to talk about that a little bit. That series is over. And then my phone about 10, 15, something around, starts going crazy. So I don't, obviously, we're not getting first take. So I have to go and start reading about this stuff. And I'm going to tell you something. I was shocked and surprised that Magic burned down the whole house. He didn't burn down a bathroom or a kitchen. He burned down the entire house. And I hate that. I would love, to, I ain't going to lie, I would love to be around watching TV all day today, because I have to tell you that some of the stuff he said was, he was really angry, disappointed. And like I said, he left no stone unturned. And I would love to be, in the States and watching all the stuff that's being said, all the journalists giving their opinion, because, man, Magic left no stone unturned. And I actually was surprised. I'm not going to lie. And what I mean by that is, listen, Magic is arguably the greatest Laker ever. And I think right now, it's not going to be comfortable for him going back in that building. You know? I mean, think about that. I mean, when he goes back in that building, he can't just run up to Jenny and Rob and say hello like everything is good and happy-go-lucky. So I think that was the part that surprised me the most, because some of the stuff he said, it was personal. It was probably unforgivable. And like I say, that's the thing that surprised me the most, how he's going to go back in that building. Because like I say, anytime you've been to a Lakers game the last 20, 30 years, Magic Johnson was there, and everybody loved him. But after some of that stuff he said today, I think it's going to be very interesting how it worked out when he goes back in that building. Because he can't walk up to Rob and Jeannie and act like everything's fine.
Yeah.
Well, our guy Jeff O'Neill here claims that he has been in golf tournaments with you in the past. And
one tournament a year, the Jimmy V.
And you would host a karaoke party on a Sunday night. Is that still going on or what?
Well, they canceled the Jimmy V. They screwed the tournament up, and they started trying to make it. It was like the greatest weekend ever. We had the best celebrities in the world, and then they screwed around and took it to Pinehurst, trying to make it like a golf event. And we're like, yo, man, we're not here to play golf. We're here to have a great weekend and play golf.
Yeah.
And like I say, most of the celebrities weren't good enough to play at Pinehurst. So we had like a 20-year run where it was like the second best tournament of the year after Lake Tahoe for celebrities. And they screwed it up, and now it doesn't exist anymore. But to answer your original question, I don't want to brag about myself too much, but I'm probably the greatest living karaoke singer still alive today.
We got to get you in studio and challenge that, man. We can bring
that character, Gary Busey, he had a tough night at the karaoke one year.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, I do remember it well. I mean, first of all, how are you going to forget that? But let me tell you this. I love karaoke. I only sing Frank Sinatra. I got to admit that. They all call me Old Brown Eyes. But I love karaoke. I love karaoke. But you know what? People make fun of my golf swing. I used to be a really good golfer. And I made the really stupid mistake of trying to get better. And I ended up taking lessons from every person, every man, every woman who ever lived. And now I got so many swing throws going through my big old head. I have no idea what's going to happen when I get over the golf ball. I mean, I used to break 80 all the time back in the day.
That's what we heard, yeah.
Yeah, I used to be a 7-8 handicap. And I was like, okay, let me get better. Instead of just being happy, drinking some beer, smoking some stogies, shooting 78 to 84, which I did pretty much every day for 10 years, I said, let me start taking lessons. Like I say, I started taking lessons from every Tom, Dick, and Harry. And now, like I say, when I'm moving a golf ball, I got at least 20 golf coaches saying something to me at the same time. And I got no idea where the hell the ball's going to go.
So why do you keep playing? Do you still enjoy it? Or?
Well, listen, when you get old, what else are you going to do when you get old? I play golf and I fish. There's not a lot you can do when you get old. I mean, I'm 56 years old. I mean, I love being out there. One of the things, listen, walking 18 holes of golf on some beautiful land, shooting the crap with three of your guy friends, smoking some stogies, drinking some beer, that's a perfect way to spend 5 hours a day during the summer when you got nothing else to do. And I love to do it. I mean, listen, if I worried about how well I play golf, come on, I wouldn't play. But I love being out there with three guys, and we have a blast. Like I say, I'm smoking my stogies. I'm drinking some beer. And golf got – I mean, you know, you guys. So you're going to see the most beautiful golf course in the world up there. You know, Wayne Gretzky, before he got cheap and killed his golf tournament up in Collingswood, that was one of the highlights of my summer. Because that place, the little village up in Collingswood.
Oh, yeah. Collingswood, yeah, it's a great spot.
There.
Oh. Yeah, it's outstanding.
You live there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. When Wayne used to have his golf tournament up there, that was the first thing we put on our schedule during the summer, was to come up to Toronto and Collingswood for a week, and it was amazing. You know, Wayne got cheap and don't do it anymore, so forget him.
Yeah, that's uncalled for.
Yeah.
That's unacceptable. Maybe the O-Dog, you can relaunch that golf tournament.
I will.
We'll reach out to you.
Hey, if you relaunch that golf tournament, count me in.
You got it. Well, enjoy your time in Toronto, and we really appreciate you doing this for us today.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me. Go Raptors tomorrow.
You got it. There he is, Charles Barkley. The great Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
Karaoke, only Sinatra, Charles Barkley.